Hi everybody, welcome once again to our morning devos. Today's passage is 1 Samuel chapter 21. I'll read this passage for us. This is 1 Samuel chapter 21. Then David came to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech came to meet David trembling and said to him, "Why are you alone and no one with you?" And David said to Ahimelech the priest, "The king has charged me with a matter and said to me, 'Let no one know anything of the matter about which I send you, and with which I have charged you. I have made an appointment with the young men for such and such a place. Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread, or whatever is here.' And the priest answered David, 'I have no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread, if the young men have kept themselves from women.' And David answered the priest, 'Truly women have been kept from us as always when I go on an expedition. The vessels of the young men are holy, even when it is an ordinary journey. How much more today will their vessels be holy?' So the priest gave him the holy bread, for there was no bread there, but the bread of the presence, which is removed from before the Lord to be replaced by a hot bread on the day it is taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. His name was Doeg the Edomite, the chief of Saul's herdsmen. Then David said to Ahimelech, 'Then have you not here a spear or a sword at hand? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste.' And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you struck down in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it, for there is none but that here.' And David said, 'There is none like it. Give it to me.' And David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, 'Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. And David took these words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, 'Behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?'" All right. Kind of an interesting way to end the chapter. But, you know, in the last few chapters of 1 Samuel, you'll know that if you've been following along or reading with us, we saw the rise of David in Israel. He defeated Goliath, became a mighty warrior in Israel's army, and a beloved figure among the people of Israel. However, in chapter 20, yesterday's passage, we read that David was forced to flee for his life as King Saul basically just finally kind of tipped over and is now in full out to kill him mode out of a deep jealousy for David and the reputation that he has gained. Though he had done nothing wrong, David is now a fugitive. He's essentially Israel's most wanted. And it seems he had to flee on very short notice because we read in our chapter that he has nothing with him but the clothes on his back. He arrives at a town called Nob, and there he meets Ahimelech the priest. He isn't very forthcoming about his travels and his motives, and it kind of makes sense. It's most likely because he isn't sure who to trust. So he lies to the priest, but fortunately for him, Ahimelech takes him at his word and provides food and food to eat and a weapon to take with him, which happens to be the sword that used to belong to Goliath. With this in tow, David continues to flee the next morning and decides to go to Achish, the king of Gath. Now, it might be easy for us to kind of skim past that detail because Gath means absolutely nothing to us as a geographical location, but it's something that's worth noting. You see, Gath is a major Philistine city. And as you might remember, the Philistines are an arch enemy to the Israelites. And so David has basically made a living fighting the Philistines. Remember, Goliath was a Philistine, and that's where David's rise began. And so it's ironic, it's kind of strange that David would willingly step into this Philistine city. And in fact, once the servants of Achish recognize David, they say to the king, "Is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. I imagine that they're not saying this just because they've heard the news, but they're wondering what is going on. What is this guy David doing here? And some of them might even be thinking, well, maybe we should take him down. David, who's already on high alert, is understandably even more freaked out. He's probably thinking, they'll capture me and have me killed. Here I am in an enemy city. The enemy is literally surrounding me. And so because of this, he resorts to acting insane. He changes his behavior, pretending to be literally out of his mind. And his actions appear to be so convincing that Achish and his servants essentially leave him alone and allow David to leave. This chapter is a far cry from what we read even just a couple chapters prior. Again, David was the hero who defeated Goliath. Shortly after that, he became a leader in Israel. He was even given the king's daughter in marriage, and the people praised him. He probably, everywhere he went in Israel, I imagine that he was praised. People wanted to see him and recognize and spend time with him. He had pretty much everything you'd want in life. But look at him now. He's having to scurry undercover from town to town and scrounge for food and materials. He's so desperate to try to find some semblance of safety that he willingly enters into a Philistine town, into the enemy territory. This is what life has now become for David. But here's the thing. David never lost hope in God. He never lost hope in God. Now, where do I get this? We don't see that written here, admittedly, in chapter 21, but we can see it in some of the Psalms. Scholars believe that Psalms 7, 34, and 56 were written by David around the time of our narrative here in 1 Samuel 21. And Psalms 34 and 56 specifically appeared to be around the time when David was in Gath, pretending to be a madman. When you read these Psalms, you get a sense for the fear and despair David felt while on the run. For example, Psalm 56, 1 says, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly." Clearly, he was having a hard time, and again, understandably so. But what is amazing to me is that even in the midst of all this, David is able to give thanks and rejoice in the Lord. Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4 say, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" And Psalm 34, 1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth." Even in the midst of such intense trials and tribulations, where his life is literally at risk, David's trust in the Lord is unwavering. And even then, it doesn't seem to be just a grit your teeth and push through it kind of trust. He is praising God. The question I have for us today is, when you're going through difficult times, what is your response? When things get tough, whether it's with school or work because it's stressful, or maybe you or your loved ones are battling illness, or you feel betrayed by a friend or hurt by someone you once trusted, or you're just simply feeling down for reasons you can't quite understand, what is your response? Who or what do you turn to? I wish I could say that I always turn to God, but to be completely honest, I know that I don't. I often turn to other things to numb my pain or the stress, things like media or sports. Or even when I do talk about it, whether with a friend or my wife, I'll oftentimes find myself just venting or complaining, hoping to just kind of get some pity at this point. The thing is, while those things aren't always bad, none of those things actually help, at least not in full. They might help a little bit, but it's temporary at best. I know, and many of you also probably know, that true comfort, wisdom, peace, resolution, and yes, even joy, comes only from God in these situations. When we find ourselves in trouble, when we are anxious, or again, as David said in Psalm 56, when we are afraid, we need to learn to put our trust in God. As you're listening to this Devo, maybe some specific things are coming to mind. I urge you today to bring them before the Lord, especially if you haven't already done so. To feel that initial emotion of fear is not wrong, but let's respond to that fear or that anxiety or that stress and turn, give it to the Lord. Let's turn to Him. Put our trust in Him. I'm reminded of that passage, I believe, in the book of Mark, where a man comes to Jesus asking Him to heal his son. And at some point, the man says, "I believe, help me to overcome my unbelief." Maybe some of us are in that state where we want to believe, but you know, we feel like we're lacking. Lord, help us to put our trust in You. If that's you, let's bring that to the Lord. Let's turn to Him and surrender our thoughts, emotions, and circumstances, and ask for His help to increasingly trust in Him. And like David, let's trust in our God today. Let me pray to close. Lord, we thank You that You are a God whom we can trust. You are a God who is mighty, who is steadfast, whose love does not change. You are a gracious and merciful God who cares for Your people. This is who You are. And therefore, Lord, it is not within Your character to abandon or forsake Your people. And so knowing this to be true, I pray that for any of us who are going through a hard time, that we would continue to look to You and turn to You. Yes, Father, there are times when we do need to take action, but even in those things, we want to take action according to Your wisdom and Your ways, not by our own. We want to be a people, Lord, who rejoice in You at all times and move as You move, Lord, and stay when You stay, to wait upon You and look to You, God. And so, Lord, just as David was able to trust in You, even in these harrowing times, help us to do the same. Help us to experience the joy, the comfort, the safety of being in Your presence. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, over, again, any of us listening today who are in that space of fear or anxiety, I just want to pray Your presence over them. Won't You bless them today? I pray that rather than turning to these other things, other distractions, may we continue to look to You. And, Lord, we ask for Your peace. We ask for resolution over these areas. We ask for guidance. We pray for spiritual eyes to see as You do, Lord. So God, bless my brothers and sisters. We thank You that Your presence is always with us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.